Well, hello there. It's the news according to me. Yeah, I decided to to make an evening show out of this. Once again, I had a very busy day. It seems like I just go from one thing to the next. And, which I guess is good. I have clients. I just kind of mosey through my day and go from one client to the next. Seems like it's, I didn't have anything on the agenda, really. Just typical stuff. Then it gets busy, which I guess it's just good. I guess that's just a good thing. So, as I spoke this morning, for those of you who's, I'm drinking water. So just to give you an idea what kind of day this is. What's going on at my feet? Something's going on down here. I have a cat that has this incredible infatuation with things that move. And apparently, my dogs aren't really appreciating that a whole lot. Because a lot of times their tails move or their legs move. And the cat decides that's something to play with. And it doesn't go over well. The cat will eventually, hopefully, learn that the dogs are bigger than that he is. However, they just kind of shake him off like it doesn't matter. But they do get a little upset once in a while. So, but fortunately, they are very well behaved. Yeah, so I'm drinking water tonight, and that seems to have a strange effect on my brain. I turn into Joe Biden. Yeah. Maybe he needs to drink less water. It sounds like he needs to drink less something. I don't know what it is he's drinking, but something's like a little stronger than water. So, I just got back from a bike ride. It was almost 80 degrees today here in northern Indiana. The banana belt, we call it here. This is the banana belt. Anybody who likes to do winter things is typically usually pretty disappointed with the winters that we have here. Always have been. They're saying all this global warming stuff, of course. Back in the 80s, I used to be into cross-country skiing. And a couple times we had a couple really good seasons for cross-country skiing. And it was kind of this new sport that was taking off here in Indiana. But for about, about 5 years. I think it was about from 1979 to about 1984, maybe 83. It was this sport that was really kind of kicking off, kind of just taking off. And in this area, I should say, I don't know, other places, I guess it's been around for a while. Like up north, where you have to cross-country ski to get around. That was kind of a typical way to get around. It was kind of a big thing back then, back in the day, before snowmobiles. And so I ended up kind of getting into this sport. And then just about the time I got the hang of doing it, because there's a certain kind of like a stride that you have to do. Then there's something they called skating. Now, I don't know. I guess it's called something else now. Something have another name for it. I don't know what it is, but it's where you kind of skate. You slide back and forth with these skis, and you don't go in a straight line with the ski. You don't have a track where you go through and you do your thing in the skis with the skis. You do this thing where you like cross. It's almost looks like somebody's skating, and I don't know if. I think it's traditional, and I think there's different races now you can go to. I guess there's because people were tearing up the tracks when they would do that kind of thing. You can fly that way. I mean, you can really get going because you're swinging your momentum. Now you're not going in a straight line all the time, but you definitely are, able to especially go uphill at all or on a flat surface. If you get the right skis, you can really get going because you can dig in really well and you can get a good push. It's pretty amazing. I tried it, and let's just say I'm still going through therapy because of it. Very embarrassing. It was a, I couldn't stand straight. I couldn't stay up trying to do that. There's no way I could do it. And I probably could have if I had practiced more than once, but I tried it and I'm like, this is not for me. I was just getting the hang of the other thing with, you have to kind of kick just right, do your whole thing with the hands and the poles and all that. With the skating thing, you didn't even use the poles, which was pretty interesting. First time I saw it, I was like, what is that guy doing? And then I realized he was passing everybody. And, of course, that, in the process, he was tearing up the track. Because, you're putting cross marks all over, over the thing, cross-tracking everything. It just ruins the grooming on the trail. So, needless to say, that was not a day for that here. So this area, what I was getting at was they started calling this the Banana Belt because a lot of times the races were canceled because there wasn't enough snow or it was too warm. And this was back in the early 80s, back before global warming was going to kill us all. This was back when they said we're going to have another ice age, which maybe was why everybody was taking up skiing. Well, that didn't happen. And now they're saying, of course, global warming. And we just had some of the coldest winters ever the last few years. And, of course, Lake Michigan. I don't know, for those of you who know anything about Lake Michigan, the lake levels were going down. They were way down, like dangerously low. Boats couldn't get into some harbors. It was ridiculous. They were having to dredge a lot and all kinds of stuff. Well, couple years ago, about three years ago, the lake levels all came back. They were saying it would never come back, first of all. It was all because of global warming. It was all evaporating too fast. And they said that the lake levels were never going to come back up again because, of course, one theory was that Nestle, up in the northern part of Michigan, was pumping water out of the aquifers. And it was the lakes were draining into those aquifers. And because of that, it was draining the lake down. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not. I believe Milwaukee also does this, but I'm pretty sure they do. However, most of the cities along the lake, and Chicago being the biggest city, one of the largest cities in the country, pumps all of its water. All of its city water comes from the lake. A lot of people don't know that. By the way, all of its sewage also returns to the lake. Not at the same place, but, water. It's like having a... I always kind of thought it was funny when we had smoking sections in restaurants. It's kind of like having a peeing section in the pool. No, it's not very much different than that. Yeah. Because you're all in the same water. So I digress. Where did I start from this? How did I get from where I was to here? So I went for this bike ride because it was nice and warm here today. It's supposed to rain and get cold again. Last time I was here, home, I should say, last little stretch I was home, it was still freezing outside at night. So very different kind of weather. Grass is turning green, and it's turning into spring now, finally. For real. So I will be, like I said this morning, there's some of the big news, I guess, that I could tell you about is the possibility that Rumble is going to start doing live streaming. Now, I would live stream on, and I have live streamed before, back when I started this show many years ago. It had a little different kind of flavor to it. It wasn't a podcast. It was just a YouTube channel. And I had probably about the same amount of subscribers, and I had people watching occasionally. A couple times it got up there in the higher numbers of people listening, watching. And I would play news clips and do things, and I had all kinds of stuff like that, and I'd present some news and talk about my philosophy and ideology and stuff like that. And In the process of doing that, of course, YouTube started, I started noticing my views started just dropping off like crazy. And next thing you know, I'd put a video out and not a single view, not one single view. So I just basically have stopped counting on YouTube or using YouTube. And because of that, I am really kind of looking forward to Rumble, because Rumble, now if Parler or Gab did something like this, it'd be wonderful as well. But I'm expecting this to be I think Rumble's going to be the first one to do it. Rumble is also a platform that has kind of a free speech mentality. And I think it's going to work pretty well. So I'm going to give that a try. And they also have very fair algorithms. So they don't you know, mess anybody up with the algorithms that they use. So people can just randomly find things. If they just type something in, they can just, you know, based on views and random, you know, topics, they will see you, because they are interested in the news. They'll get the news, according to me. But if they, you know, if they don't, if they type in, you know, you don't get a bunch of stuff from the Kardashians if you type in the news, unless the Kardashians are in the news. But if you type in political news, unless the Kardashians are in political news, but I mean, it's you know, you'll get news that's current, and those things used to be. Now I can type. Let's just look for a chance, just for, yeah. I really am talking like Joe Biden tonight. So I typed in. I'm into machining. I've got a little lathe, and I got a mill. I got a little router. They're all CNC. And if I go down the thing here, there's actually a lot of stuff here about, there's quite a bit here on milling and drilling and, but a lot of times I'll type in something. Now this one happens to have an awful lot about, there's nothing actually even any political news on here. Usually there's something about something stupid. But if I just go to, you know, the random, the main page of YouTube here, and look at it. There's some things about sailing. There's some things about politics. I got the Hodge twins there, conservative twins, they call themselves on YouTube. Officer Tatum. Got H.A. Goodman. What else we got on here? But then you got all this other stuff, like the X Factor UK. I don't subscribe to that. I don't subscribe to it. I don't know why it's on there. MSNBC, they pop up all the time. Russell Brand, let's see if there's Pandora. Yeah, it's just all kinds of stuff that I don't even subscribe to that shows up on this random, you know, trending stuff. And even the Late Show with Stephen Colbert or whatever, I don't subscribe to that. A lot of stuff I don't subscribe to that pops up all the time. So, yeah. But now if I go to my subscriptions, now that a lot of stuff pops up in order. But I wonder sometimes, because I've been hearing that they've been suppressing that even. Some people have been knocked off of subscription lists and not been notified if they have, you know, if they ring the bell, they have the bell thing clicked. They don't get the bell. So, yeah. So a couple things that are in the news that I really want to talk about that I think deserve to be talked about. And this isn't going to be a real long show tonight, because I've already taken up, you know, half of it. But the two things that are kind of in the news that are, I think, worth talking about. And I know Newsmax has talked about Greg. What's his name? The guy on Newsmax that has been pretty popular. I don't see him right here right now. It's not Chris Saucedo. It's the other guy. I like Chris as well. But this guy has been he's got a little bit more of a prime time spot. So he, I want to make sure I watch that video. That's save to watch later. I'm going to do that. I don't see him on here at the moment. But he's really good at just telling it like it is. And he was talking the other day about the Chauvin trial. Eric Chauvin, I think is his name. And how this, the media has done an injustice. Well, from the very beginning, the media has done an injustice on this whole thing. And of course, you've got the race baiters out there. I mean, if now this is based on actual. Now you haven't heard much about. You haven't heard anything about Jesse Jackson lately. I don't know what he's doing anymore. Is he even out there? Is he just too old to do anything? And of course, you still have Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton's still going, and he's getting up there in years as well. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson were the two individuals who really were the ones who really made it big as race baiters. I call them race baiters or race mongers. They would literally, I know that this happened because of reports that this stuff happened. This is the way it would happen back in the 90s, 80s and 90s. And this stuff kind of started coming out later on. They would go into an area where there was a business, and if that business had any kind of incident where it could be construed as being a racial issue and it made the news, they would come into the area and they would say, "We are going to make this a national issue if you don't pay us $50,000. I mean, that's the gist of it. I'm not saying that's exactly what they said. I'm saying that was basically, they had to pay reparations, they had to pay damages for, they were looking for $80,000 or $100,000, or we're going to take you to court, or we're going to make this a big deal. We're going to make this a big deal. This was the shakedown that happened time and time again. And this is the way these guys made their money. They didn't have a job. I mean, the Reverend Al Sharpton, is he a pastor of a church somewhere? Does he have a church? Does he get a church salary? No. Did Jesse Jackson, was he pastoring a church somewhere? No. They did it one time. They went through the whole process and did that, but they never really ran anything like that. They were never really they never had a passion for the gospel. Their gospel was the gospel of. Well, I don't want to get into this or not. I don't know if I do or not. I don't think I do. But don't have time really right now. We'll have to take a whole show sometime, or maybe a week, to talk about Black Liberation Theology. That's what it's called, BLT. And it's a very dangerous ideology as well. And you won't hear... The way the teachings of Christ can be twisted are just amazing to me. Which again is why we have to be very careful when you go to a church and you go to a denomination, if they start putting their denominational bent on a particular way that they see, there's all kinds of different lenses you can look through to see Scripture. And And when there's a particular lens that they want you to wear, well, this says this, but when we look through this lens of our particular doctrinal denomination, we can see very clearly that this really isn't this. It isn't what it says. It appears to be this, but it's really saying this. Okay. Or you add to something that's not really there. Or you read into something that's saying, well, now what Jesus was really thinking about at this time, he was doing this. In fact, there are people who said that Jesus made a racist statement to a woman one time, and then he corrected himself. Or the other person corrected, the woman corrected him, and he realized he was racist and he repented of what he did. This gets back to who you think Jesus is. And why, it's very dangerous stuff. So, I go there to say this. Let's just say that the trial itself is probably not going to have the outcome that people are going to approve of. And I'm not even sure, you know, if they tried this guy and found him guilty of murder in the first degree and they decided to give him the death penalty, that's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. It's not going to heal our land. It's not going to bring people together. There's not going to be healing all of a sudden all at once. It just doesn't happen that way. So I'm not sure what they're looking for. Sometimes I wonder if some people on the left, some people on the other side of this issue, there are people on the other side of this racial issue who almost seem to think, that without saying it, this is almost the way they come across, they're not going to be happy until the white men are all dead. Till the world is eradicated from this white devil. And this is literally Farrakhan's ideology. He calls this the white devil. Well, I disagree. And I you call me whatever you want. But that isn't going to bring about healing. And I know that that's not what God calls me. So you're not speaking for him. So, I don't know if any of you have ever had this experience or not. This thought popped into my mind. I just want to talk about this a little bit. There are people in leadership in churches who sometimes don't realize the effect that they can have on a person's life. And Scripture says there's power in the tongue. I don't think it means that you're just able to speak things into existence the way, you know, go ahead and try that. Now, there are things that we can speak if we're speaking his word. If he tells us to speak something or we're speaking his heart, then that's his word. We're speaking, sure. Speak to that mountain, it'll be removed. However, words, let's get back to just general conversation. I have had at least one pastor that spoke something to me, to my face. There was another pastor that didn't speak to my face, but he said some things about me. And it was, both of these people. Now, keep in mind, these are both individuals that I highly respected. And it's hard for me to put anyone in that position for myself. It's because of some past things that happened in my life, where I trusted someone and they really undermined my trust in them. Not saying it wasn't, God doesn't want me to trust a man, he wants to trust him, which, you know, it had to happen, but I definitely have learned that lesson well. However, there were a couple times that, and there are still pastors I respect, don't get me wrong, there's still pastors that I have a huge amount of respect for. However, these were two individuals that I worked. I felt like I was one of them. I was working for. I was actually worked for the church, and I was in a position there. And he wasn't my direct boss, but he was my boss's boss. And he said some things to me about me that I have to say, They have stuck with me to this day. I still hear him saying it, even though I pushed back against it. That moment, in the moment it was said, I disagreed with him and pushed back on it. However, those things, now I'm not saying everybody is this way, but the way he said it and what happened and the respect I had for him kind of makes it echo for a while. You'll still hear that voice once in a while. And I don't think that some pastors, some people in leadership in the church, or leadership in general, even bosses and, you know, people, I guess you're still calling them bosses? I don't know. Supervisors, whatever they are, don't realize the the impact that you can have in your with your words on someone's life. As a leader of any kind, or teacher, whatever you are. And it came down to this. You know, when someone would said that about me, tried to pigeonhole me and say, this is the way you are. I'm going to label you now with this label. This is who you are. And it was very, very derogatory. It wasn't a positive thing, in my opinion. Now, I'm not saying that you just have to say nice things about me, but this was something I totally disagreed with. And I know that one, you know, if you do say someone's say that you're whatever, you got a personality disorder, you got an issue that you need to work on, and I call it out, and I say this is a problem you have that you need to work on. As a pastor, you could probably get away with, you know, that's something that's kind of a position that you're in with someone who's you're mentoring or whatever. Now, if you're really good at mentoring and pastoring, you can bring that person around without saying it. You can bring that person around to realizing it on their own. Because it really is a work that God needs to do in their heart, not something you can do to them or for them. and unfortunately, that's what a lot of pastors and mentors tend to do. They become the Holy Spirit for that person instead of directing them to the one who can speak to them about that issue. So, and this happens, this happens all the time within family groups. It happens a lot. Husbands and wives, they try to play Holy Spirit for the other person. They don't trust the work that God is doing in the other person's heart, so they try to do it themselves. It happens a lot with kids, and it's understandable because you're trying to raise your kids. You're in that role of guiding and directing them all the time, and then at some point, you know, you have to let God do His thing in their heart and just trust that God is doing something in their heart. Or maybe you're a child. Maybe you have a parent that's rebellious, that isn't. You're a believer, and your parent, you're praying for your parents to get saved. I know a lot of people like that, and they finally, you know, at some point, a lot of times they do. But that's a work that God has to do in their heart. You can't do it for them. You can be there, and you can help plant the seeds and water and do all those other things, but that's at some point they have to do that on their own. So, having said that, we have a situation where people speaking things to other people, they're not speaking what God is saying over that person. And that was the thing that I used as my defense right there, right then and there, was at least in my own heart. I don't think I said this out to him, but I said this. I realized this later on. I was like, okay, these were words that were spoken to me and over me, to me. Is that God? And I guarantee you, that is not how God sees me, and it's not what He says over me. That's not what He speaks over me. It's not what He's calling me to or labeling me as. In fact, I don't think God really wants to label us anyway. I think the only label He wants to put on us at all is the label mine. You are mine. I think that's what He's saying to a lot of people right now. You're not a ditch digger. You're not an accountant. You're not a laundry person. You're not a cashier. You're not a dentist. You're mine. That's who you are. That's all that matters. What you do and what you occupy your time with is simply what you're doing right now. It's not who you are. It's just how you're biding your time. So I hope that makes sense to you. Because there's much higher calling than it is just to be His, to abide in Him. That's more important. And it's more important that you know that and that you embrace that. And anything else that anybody says about you doesn't matter. So having said that, Now we have this issue of race. What's happening with this trial? And everyone wants to, everyone that I hear on TV, even people who are, you know, ex-officers and everything else, they, no, nobody is standing up to defend Chauvin. And, you know, he's still a human being. He wasn't an animal. He was trying to do his job. He was doing a very poor job of it. And he made a lot of mistakes, did a lot of things wrong. No question about it. Is he a cold-blooded white supremacist racist murderer that was hoping to kill a black person that day? No. And yet that's what they would have you believe. Again, no one has an objective opinion. No one's able to hold any kind of objectivity in this situation because the narrative is so inflamed. It's so taken out of proportion at this point. And if you align yourself in any way with trying to see this man as a human being, all of a sudden you're a racist as well. You're a filthy, dirty person. Because this self-righteous judgment that we like to rise up with so often is a dangerous thing. It will blind you to any kind of real rational thought. And as I have said before, the only thing that is going to heal this nation is when the black community, and I'm saying the church needs to start with the church. And I hate to say black churches, but that's, I want to say it that way. It's the churches that are predominantly black have black pastors and most of their congregation is black. Those pastors need to start, and there are some out there doing this, and it just, it just melts my heart when I hear this from some of these black pastors. I've only heard it from a couple, and it's only been in the last couple months. I've been saying this for, it's not a very popular thing to say. I've been saying it for the last couple of years. The black community needs to forgive the white man. That is the only way we're going to see healing in this. It's the only way. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that is the heart of God. Getting vengeance is not our place. If you want to blame every white person for what happened to your ancestors or what happened to you, then I would say you have issues you need to deal with. I had four individuals try to rob me one night. Two of them had guns that I don't know if the other two did or not. I didn't see them. But I know two of them did. I got away. They didn't get anything from me other than I lost my fast food that I had ordered that night. I had to run and had to end up dropping all that stuff. The one thing, I did have sweet tea in my one hand, and I threw that back at the guy that was chasing me down a hill, and that did hit him in the face. It actually hit him in the face. I was surprised. But there we weren't stopping because we were running down a hill. So to stop was to fall. And that wasn't going to happen. So I kept running. Needless to say, I was 40 years old at the time, trying to outrun a bunch of 19-year-old kids. Probably at least, I think 19 was probably the oldest one. And I got away. I was at that tipping point where I was either going to have to turn around and fight or just keep running, and I just kept running. However, I'm not going to blame all of the people who are the same color skin that they had. That would be stupid. There are those who would blame the white man for them acting the way they did. This just happened recently. There's a couple black girls, teenagers, killed a man after they were trying to carjack this guy, and they killed a guy. They got off. I think they got some kind of parole now. They can after when they're 20, when they turn 21, their whole entire record is expunged, and they're out on parole already, or on bail on parole or whatever they got. I don't know. I think they've already been charged and tried, and they're out. They got some kind of lenient sentence of some kind. So it's ridiculous. So, yeah, I think that at some point, and here's the other thing about this that I really do believe that the rhetoric is stirred up a lot by people that I think there's a lot of people in the black community that don't even have the kind of animosity towards white people that the people who are stirring it up believe they do or should have. There are a lot of white liberals in academia who believe that the white man is you know, the enemy, and that all black people should hate them. It's like, almost like they have to learn how to hate them properly, or have to seek vengeance for them, or reparations, or whatever they got, whatever they're supposed to have. Somehow that's supposed to happen. That's not going to end this. It's not going to end the division between the ethnos, between the people groups. So I have the feeling that the Chauvin trial is going to explode, because when the jury comes through and the verdict is reached, I'm really going to be surprised. Well, I won't be terribly surprised if he's found guilty of second or third degree murder. Just because of the nature of this trial and the political ramifications. Nobody wants to be that juror who disagrees with the narrative. Because they know they're going to feel responsible for all the chaos and mayhem that goes on afterwards. And not only will there be people, you know, there will be burning buildings down, there will be, I'm sure, people will lose their lives. This has already happened in a lot of the demonstrations they're calling, you know, the protests. A lot of the riots that have taken place, people have lost their lives. Good people have lost their lives. Because apparently one black death wasn't enough. You know, the death of George Floyd was not enough. They had to riot and see to it that more people died. If you were wearing a red hat, they would shoot you in the street, which happened. They walked up and shot an unarmed man in the street because he was wearing a red hat. But because they were fearing for their life, because this person was dangerous. You didn't hear much about that one, did you? Happened out in California. Or on the West Coast someplace, I'm not sure. It's Oregon. Might have been Oregon. I don't know. So violence is still flaring up as well in many of these cities, and there's still issues about some of those kinds of things. It's not being reported now anymore because we don't want to hear about that now, because it's, you know, we can't blame that on Joe. So that's still happening. There's a couple news reports. I want to go through a couple news reports here because I think it's important that we see or that we hear about some of this stuff that's going on. And I read some news reports earlier, and what is that? Sometimes I get emails that are the cartoon madness. Cartoon. I don't know what that is. What? Oh, it's something about basketball. Never mind. Yeah, let's talk about some of the headlines here in this one particular segment here. We have new details emerging from the Cuomo accuser of alleged groping at executive mansion. So this is the sexual scandal stuff, which I don't think it really matters politically. I think he could get away with the whole sexual scandal stuff. I think it's the other issue. The other issues that he's got, the two other things that are much bigger, which is the whole nursing home scandal thing, and then the other thing with the giving out, making sure that his family got, and family and friends got vaccinations before anybody else. Biden is expected to announce executive actions on gun control Thursday. So tomorrow we should hear something about the executive actions on gun control. This is going to be a mess. As Ukraine faces mounting pressure from Russia, they plead for rapid NATO entry. This is something I didn't get talked about this morning. I talked a little bit about China and Taiwan, which also, U.S. this is just another headline. U.S. military warns communist China will attack Taiwan at any time. They are ready to pull the trigger. This was a U.S. military official. I didn't mention this morning, but this is another issue that is not getting much coverage because of, you know, border and everything else that's going on. Russia is pushing into Ukraine again. It looks as if they may be ready to pull the trigger on that. Now, if they both do this at the same time, let's say that China goes into Taiwan, and then Russia decides to do something with Ukraine, or vice versa. Whoever starts the first one, it will overwhelm the ability of the NATO forces, basically the U.S., to deal with the situation in light of everything that's going on in the White House. At least that's what they're counting on. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not. But I have a question. I think there'd be a lot of confusion. I think there would be a lot of confusion within our military because of what, you know, because you don't have somebody that's calling the shots. You've got, who do you have? You got different factions of the military that are going to be, you know, wanting to do things. They're a very dangerous situation because now you don't have somebody that can say, you know, can keep the leash on the dog, so to speak. I mean, if it's up to the military back in the Cuban Missile Crisis, we'd have been shot probably with missiles. Because it was a lot closer than a lot of people realize. What Kennedy was able to pull off there was nothing short of miraculous. Florida Democrat bashes 60 Minutes hit piece on Ron DeSantis. So there is actually, some Democrats have actually come forward and condemned what they're doing. Former top Trump aide launches group to challenge Biden's policies in court. And a female CNN anchor blasts the liberal network for gender inequality. So they're going to, they start feeding on their own after a while. You'll start to see them tearing themselves up. Joe Biden is ready to tell the entire world to raise taxes. Alabama governor urges common sense as mask mandates are lifted in the state. George Soros and Bill Gates form a ministry of truth to crack down on misinformation. What could possibly go wrong with that? Arkansas governor claims Ronald Reagan would support chemical castration of children. I don't know if you saw this interview with Tucker Carlson, the Arkansas governor. Got on there and tried to explain himself, and Tucker tore him apart. He just basically flat out said, I don't believe you. He told him that he hadn't talked to any. He asked him if he had talked to any big companies in the area. He basically said, no, I haven't talked to any of them. I have a hard time believing that. Basically said, I just don't believe you. I don't believe that. Just kind of interesting that he just called him out on it like that. Now, there's a couple other headlines. Star pitcher complains about COVID restrictions keeping more fans from attending games. And 115 cops quit Portland force after months of unchecked Antifa and BLM riots. Now, there is one other headline. I don't see it here now. Where is that headline? It was a fairly interesting. Yeah, here it is. 246 fully vaccinated Michigan residents catch COVID. 246. Three of them are dead. I have, for a while, I have contended, and I don't know if I've even said it on the show or not, but this is the thing that I think we should have put our resources into, and rather than trying to find some quasi sort of cure for this thing, I would have been much more in favor, and I still am. And I think that I know that there are still people trying to work on this, and they've made great strides in this, is the therapeutics for this thing. In other words, the ways in which we treat the symptoms of this thing. People who have, who go into a really bad situation, people who are at high risk, that we have ways of treating the patient to mitigate the loss of life. I think that we would see a much greater, that way we can let this thing run its course and be done with it. And if you do get it, there's treatment. I think early testing is important, whatever it takes to get, as soon as you find out this thing is there, get the therapeutics involved, get the thing moving. And I think that's the safest thing to do with the least loss of life and the least amount of uncertainty. Because here's another issue that has come up, and I don't see it in any headlines at the moment, but this has come out several times, and I don't see it here. Maybe it's in this portion here. I'm just doing my show prep as I do the show. One of the things that they're showing is that the AstraZeneca vaccine is now directly linked to having a certain type of brain clot, or a blood clot in the brain. I don't know how many cases there are on what the stats are on it, but this is just, how long have we had this thing out there now? A few months? And we're already starting to see some kind of issues with the vaccinations. Now, the real telltale will be between 12 to 18 months. Because that has been, a lot of the doctors that have, the specialists that have come out and spoken against this type of vaccination that they're using, that has been in most clinical trials, animal trials, animal testing, at 12 to 18 months, the huge numbers of the test subjects, their immunity collapsed, their immune system collapsed, and most of them ended up dead. I think it was over half of them were dead because of an immune system collapse. They've never been able to get one of these approved. And basically, Moderna was the only one who'd actually tried to put anything through. So now Moderna is one of the top vaccine places, companies coming out with this thing. But most of these vaccines are very similar makeup. Basically the same thing. So, that's all real happy stuff. Happy news. Now, just one other quick note I want to make before I sign off here. Tomorrow morning I will have a show, and tomorrow evening I will have a show, tomorrow afternoon. However, Friday I probably will not have a show until late in the evening, and probably not going to have anything Friday morning. I'm seriously doubting there's going to be anything Friday morning. I will be traveling again on Friday morning, and so I will not be doing another show. Monday will also be another challenging time for me to be doing a show because I'll be up early traveling again. But I believe that Monday afternoon, there will definitely be a show that afternoon, probably. So, and then, of course, Tuesday there'll be a show Tuesday afternoon. The rest of the month, I'm not traveling. So most likely, there'll be lots of shows the rest of the month. Hopefully, a live show before the end of the month. Have a great night, everybody. God bless. Take care.